Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, with laundry room designs meant to bring calm to everyday routines. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Finding welcoming places to meet with friends and like-minded people for fun and entertainment can be an everyday challenge for folks who are part of, quote, non-mainstream or marginalized communities. And for the last 6 years, WorkFest, an annual outdoor festival that centers Black and queer talent that includes musicians, DJs, and vendors, has provided a space for people to gather to enjoy one another's company. It also stands against a trend of queer clubs and venues disappearing across the country. Joining me in studio to discuss that is one of the founders of WorkFest, Trayvon Griffith. Trey, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Dion Galladay, a producer and one of the performers for this year's WorkFest. Galladay, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
Now, WorkFest is unique in St. Louis for its being the largest festival that focuses on Black queer art. Now, Trey, for those who are hearing about it for the first time, talk about what specifically motivated you and your co-founder to create WorkFest in the first place.
Yeah, it really was just a passion project at the beginning, but it really has turned into something that I don't even think that we imagined it would turn into. The inspiration really behind it is just representation. I remember growing up and not seeing queer representation growing up and realizing that I was othered and I didn't necessarily have a place to be or a place to necessarily be myself. So I just wanted to really create that space.
Mm-hmm. Did it feel like St. Louis needed that at the time that you began this project?
Yeah, I think so. I still think that we still need it, and mm-hmm. we're still finding new ways to figure out how we need to show up.
Mm-hmm. Now, Trey, you and Galladay both, you're both queer Black men. And
Something
like that. And you're both amazing singers. And you bring yourselves to your music as fully as you can. As artists, what is it that you hope to convey, to express? Are there any messages that you hope to put across to those who listen, Galladay?
So for me in my career, I stick to three big ones, which is love, peace, and light. So if I can push all three of those in anything that I'm doing, whether that's on stage, whether that's producing, whether that's just being behind the scenes, me as a being. So I want to be able to push those three at all times.
Mm-hmm. How about for you, Trey?
The messaging is really just about authenticity. I feel like for so long, I really didn't find a way to be my true self. And in these past few years, WorkFest and platforms like this have helped me. So that's really what I am trying to have a message about. It's just being able to be yourself and be free.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember seeing someone here in St. Louis who made you feel like it was something that you were witnessing and also was a bit of inspiration, Galladay?
So I actually have a funny story. I didn't see him.
Oh, him, meaning me, Trey.
Yes, yeah. But me and Trey, so our relationship started from high school, Central Vision Performing Arts High School.
Okay.
I came in as a sophomore, and Trey had graduated that year prior. In my entire first 2 weeks of school, everyone said, oh my God, you're the new Trey, you're the new Trey, you're the new Trey. And I had no idea who this Trey person was. So the following year, Trey came to visit the school and they said, oh, Trey's in the theater. So I marched down to the theater and I walked right up to him. I said, hi, my name is Galladay and apparently I'm the new you.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know, but those are really big shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that I would be trying or... I've always been me.
Yeah.
However, Trey definitely set the tone for me before I even knew who he even was.
Mm.
So I would say it would be Trey for me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Have you heard this before, Trey?
No, I haven't heard it like that, but I do know our
story
of how we met. But
right,
no, I really appreciate
Galladay.
Thank
you. Of course, baby.
Oh, that's wonderful.
My inspirations are not necessarily queer people who I necessarily saw growing up, because mm-hmm. I don't think from that generation they were really able to live out loud.
Yeah.
But some of my just inspirations in the arts in general is Ron Hines from The Black Rep, mm-hmm. Dello Thetford, who was my music mentor, mm-hmm. and also Anita Watkins-Stevens.
Yeah. It's a lot right here. Now, one of the things that we're looking at now, I mean, there have been many efforts to defund or even flat out end efforts that specifically reference race, sexual orientation, gender expression. We're talking about Workfest, Black, queer, right? How is it that you are navigating what is happening, you know, politically and socially around the kind of, you know, the identities mm-hmm. that you embody and that you live out? Trey, let's start with you.
Yeah, that's an interesting time for us right now. Yes. To be honest, about a month and a half ago, we weren't even going to produce Workfest.
Oh.
We have seen a lot of different shifts in the way of priorities of people and necessarily what they're funding, mm-hmm. And necessarily how to get people to rally around the cause. As I feel like back in the day when we first started around the pandemic, like it was really like the cool thing to do.
Absolutely.
To get behind.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we've seen the shift as the climate has changed.
Yeah.
But we've seen that even more so now because of that, the more important it is for us to continue to kind of make these spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally did everything I could possible to make this weekend happen.
Yeah, yeah. Galladay, I mean, for you, how are you living in this moment in the way that you want, you know, with the realities that exist?
I'm taking it day by day. I'm a person that I try my best to control my peace and, you know, stay in that. However, it becomes a point where you do have to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to, you know, fight for what is yours. So right now I am doing my best to figure out that line to walk. Just me personally, I don't try to get too much into politics. However, an artist should reflect the times.
Yeah.
So I am in my pen and pad moments, and mm-hmm. we are working some things out.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll come back to that question when the album is released.
Okay.
How about that?
Oh, great. Well, there's a little tease there.
There we go.
Well, one of the things that I understand about what's happening with the Workfest lineup this year is that, Galladay, you are going to be part of it. I mean, does it feel like this timing is right? Like, are you wanting a venue like this to speak to who you are?
Absolutely. I've been a part of Workfest from the very first one. So seeing the evolution of it, but also seeing how it it's parallel with the times. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And it is the perfect stage for me to be on, and I'm just excited. I'm excited for all the surprises. I'm excited for to be with my people.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Well, and in being with your people, you will be performing a song that I've had pop up in my head and that I've sung the chorus of many times since we included it.
Thank
on
you.
One of our past new music roundups here on St. Louis on the Air. Let's hear a little bit of that track. It's called Dallas.
All right.
Should've left your ass. Should've left your ass in Dallas. A savage. Thought I patched you up with all your tears. 3 years later, you're still right here. I can't lie, it's nothing like the times before. I will never be yours. Coming from the moment under the moonlight. You know. You lost the magic. No need to stay in fight.
And that was Dallas by
yes,
Galladay.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, this makes me smile every time. Galladay, you make R&B music, and
yes.
R&B focuses on themes of love, relationships.
Yes.
You know, there's the yearning and heartbreak.
All of it.
And in mainstream music, not just R&B as a genre, I mean, songs with those themes are written from usually the perspective of someone who's talking about heterosexual relationships. In your view, I mean, is there a difference in writing songs about queer love and heartbreak? Or, I mean, is it ultimately the same?
For me, no, because ultimately, love is love. Yeah. So it doesn't matter who you're speaking to. I mean, I could be writing a song to my dog, and it will still, I mean, my dogs, my roof dogs,
right,
okay?
Right.
And it could still come across as, you know, a love song or anthem for anyone that, you know, whatever I'm speaking about, whether it be heartbreak, whether it be that longing that you speak of, or... any perspective. I think that's what makes a great songwriter, when anybody can relate to it.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's what I try to strive for. I don't like to put any guardrails up for me.
Yeah.
In terms of, I'm only speaking about this person. No, I'm talking about everybody.
Mm-hmm. Trey, you agree?
Yeah, I do agree that love is love. But actually, as an artist, when I first started, I did used to gender my music as if I was talking to a female.
Oh, okay.
And that evolved somewhere around 2019 or so, when I put out my project As I Am. Mm-hmm. But I do believe the same, especially now as the evolution of myself and just finding myself. But I did kind of conform growing up and when I was creating music.
Do you think that has to do with depictions? So I'm thinking specifically about like album covers and what you see.
Yes, I think so. I think it's fed to us in all media across the board growing up. It wasn't as much representation as we have now. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It might just be in our conscious from childhood.
Yeah.
Possibly. For me, the artist that I've always strung for and yearned for and, you know, tried to shoot, you know, like, would be Prince. And Prince really knocked down the doors when it came down to songwriting and that gender norm.
Yeah.
And just not knowing who he was speaking about, or flat out, if I was your girlfriend, you know? So I think that living under that has pushed me to say, I can write about whatever I want to write about and talk about whoever I want to talk about, you know? And it's not necessarily he's talking about him, or he's talking about her. You know, it's everybody.
It's everybody. It could be you. Now, in the introduction, and we talked about what is happening with spaces that are dedicated to queer folks. And then if you are someone who is queer and have another sort of intersectional identity, that those spaces are even harder to come by. And this is something, it's a phenomenon that's been closely followed by urban designers and scholars. And of course, it's something that queer people are experiencing. These spaces where, you know, there's a recognition and an honoring of queer Black folks, their Blackness, other intersectional identities. I mean, does WorkFest feel like something that was made for right now, Trey?
It does. Now that I can see how far we've come and the climate change, I just, like I said earlier, I really couldn't imagine that we would be here now. But I'm so glad that we made this space years ago, because it's even more important now. So maybe it was made for now, and I had no idea what we were stepping into and why we needed the space or what the importance was. But now it's coming very clear.
Mm-hmm. And Galladay, you said that you've been at every WorkFest.
I've performed. We're on 6 years.
Yeah.
So maybe four of them? Four of them I performed on, and the other two just producing behind the scenes everything.
Has it felt like a space that is even more necessary over those years?
Honestly, I seen it from the jump.
Right.
I seen it from the jump, and I knew that this would be something that I wanted to be a part of and wanted to put my stamp on it. You know, me and Trey are best friends in our personal lives.
Yes.
So a lot of things kind of intertwine. However, this was something that I was like, you know what? You're not doing this without me. You're not doing this without me.
Those shoes are not stepping anywhere without me.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously there is this room that is being made for dancing, for singing, for, I mean, partying.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right? Everybody needs a party. But what is it that happens in these spaces, maybe not Workfest for now, but at these spaces that are dedicated to queer folks? Why are these spaces so important to LGBTQ community all around?
Yeah, I believe that community in general is so important, especially in times like now. And a lot of the times we conform to white spaces that isn't necessarily from a lens from a Black queer perspective. And it's even more important to be around like-minded people. So I think that these spaces are very important, continue to be important. And it's the way where we find, like I said, where we find our people, we find our community, we find love, we find who to talk to in hard times. Yeah, our freedom, examples of how to live life if we aren't necessarily there all the way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What you said, Trey, about this, you know, spaces that are not meant for you.
Yes.
What do you mean about that? And how does Workfest give that to people?
Yes, I remember growing up, and I think this is still true in a lot of spaces, not even just in St. Louis per se, that queerness and pride has become this very commercial kind of thing, and it's very from a white perspective, and you see those artists, and you see those voices being amplified, and that's kind of where it ends. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily see the representation of other Black and brown folks and marginalized people having a space within these spaces. So a lot of the times we have no choice but to just kind of find our space within something they've already made. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Workfest is actually taking a stance and saying, no, let's actually create a space that's specifically for us, mm-hmm. where we get to uplift and highlight this community as a whole, which is something that I think on a big scale isn't necessarily been done and is not doing in the way that I feel like Workfest has done.
Mm-hmm. Trey, this year, as in past years, you have headliners who are very well known all over, you know, outside and here in St. Louis. And the headliner for this year is R&B sensation and Broadway star Avery Wilson.
Woo-woo!
Now, and you've also continued to make plenty of room for local artists like Galladay. Mm-hmm. But talk with us a little bit more about this year's lineup. Who are the performers who will be repping STL?
Yeah, all of our submissions actually come from an open submission process. Over the years, it has gotten bigger, and we've had artists from literally everywhere submit to be a part of Workfest. But this year, we really wanted to hone in on our STL talent and kind of go back to our roots of, like, why we started. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited about this lineup, especially who we have representing St. Louis.
Absolutely.
Of course, we have Galladay leading it. And then we have a new DJ in residence, PB and Jeffy. He's mm-hmm. been on our bill before, but also, you know, he's a resident
at
Sophie's in town.
Yeah.
We also have an artist named Samir Say. We have some newcomers to St. Louis, Mask Era, who just moved here from L.A., mm-hmm. and this will be his first time on a big stage in St. Louis since he's moved back, and a lot of other people. But I think it's really important to show that, like, our queerness isn't necessarily a monolith, and that there's so many different perspectives of, like, what that looks like, especially here in St. Louis.
Galladay, is there someone that you're especially looking forward to partying and celebrating with?
In terms of
just the people who are either coming from elsewhere or local.
Oh,
talent.
I've been an Avery fan like from the beginning.
Okay.
And I have definitely every year when it comes down to the conversations of who do we want to see
as a headliner?
As a headliner. I have always dropped Avery's name in the bucket.
And for those who are not familiar with Avery Wilson, what should people know about him?
He is a supreme vocalist.
Oh, okay.
He's going to sing down. Oh, I tell you, every note will be there. It is going to... I can't even talk about it.
I believe him to be like what we used to call old school R&B artists. It's like a crooner.
Yes. Oh,
like, okay. You know, like a Sammy Davis. You know, they're very mm-hmm. charismatic, but also have so much talent. And mm-hmm. the technical skill that Avery shows is just like...
Phenomenal.
Yeah. And for our mainstream audience, the cast member, Avery Wilson's a cast member of the latest production of The Wiz yes. and a contestant on The Voice. What is the one thing that you want people to know before they come to WorkFest in 30 seconds, Trey?
That it is a space for everybody, but it's designed for Black queer community, so we center them. And if you believe that this community deserves to be uplifted, this space is for you.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Galladay?
Baby, come have a good time. Wear your comfortable shoe, have your sweat rag, and be ready to party down.
Mm-hmm.
Party down, okay? We're having a good time. We all deserve a good time. So this is your moment to have a good time.
You're definitely selling it. Dionne Galladay is a producer and a WorkFest 2025 performer, and Trayvon Griffith is a co-founder of WorkFest. Trayvon and Dionne, thank you so much for joining us today, and have a great time this weekend.
Thank you so much.
WorkFest is this Saturday, July 12th at Atomic by Jammo in The Grove. You can find tickets by searching WorkFest, that's W-E-R-Q, Fest, on Eventbrite.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.